Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless...
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
I'm Andy.
And it's unusual for us to do a match review so soon after what was a pretty bad loss, but, you know, circumstances dictate, so, you know, we're going to...
Fortunately, I'm out of the country for the next 9 days. I'm quite looking forward to it. I'm not going to miss footy, my dear.
No, and you'll miss the Geelong game.
Well, we'll get to that.
Yep.
You know one of the worst things about today, Nick?
There's a few.
It's not even going to make my top 10 worst moments as a Richmond supporter.
I just feel like we're back to maybe 2012. Not as bad as 2011, I don't think. But certainly back to 2012. Like, all the progress from last year doesn't really feel apparent. We don't... Last year we were a genuinely good team. Even the year before, we were sort of there or thereabouts. Had trouble in close games. We were competitive. We weren't competitive today.
No, we weren't. The sort of, you know, everyone's talking about the game movement, and that's very valid. We sort of were done on the spread, and Hawthorn got much more possessions than us. But we also got done on the contested possessions and the clearances.
Well, they go pretty solid in there. You know, Hodge, Lewis, Mitchell. They had 20 bounces, and we had 2.
Nick, there was a moment for me that was very symptomatic. It was sort of mid-part through the second. Newman was on the switch, hit Gordon with a beautiful pass, and Gordon was sort of running and could have turned and kept running with the ball, and admittedly had someone on his hammer. But he stopped and propped and did the safe thing and chipped back in.
Yeah, the chipping is a frequent topic of conversation, and people aren't bringing it up in a good way.
No, and that was moment. It's moments like that where that was one of the moments where, yes, you may get caught, but on the other hand, if you take the game on, you'll have a one-out forward. And he chose not to, and he didn't turn the ball over and got his disposal. He had an effective disposal at the end of it, but you don't get too many chances and that much space in AFL, and he's in the team to work the space.
I know. We got beaten far more badly in scoring shots than we did in inside 50s, but again, there are lots of scrappy inside 50s. Either very slow ball movement with a bomb inside forward 50, or, you know, scrambled kicks, not to the advantage of the forward.
Yep. There was a moment, Nick, when I tweeted about it. We were down by 10 goals at the time, and we were -3 in the inside 50s.
Yep.
And although they wound up kicking well for goal, you know, at the time they hadn't sort of... the scoring shots weren't that much again. The scoring shots they'd still had heaps more. It's just we're not getting the shots on goal.
Hmm. And yet Jack had a good game.
Yeah. Jack was really good. Like, all game, I thought he was, from the opening bounce, he wasn't putting a lot of goals on the board, but, you know, for instance, that second goal, the second goal of the first quarter, just towards the end, that was all because of Jack's, you know, clever little tap that cleared the ball from three guys. I thought he contested really well. A case can be made that against someone of Jack's size, that Gibson's the best fullback in the AFL at the moment.
Hmm. I think we need Ty Vickery back.
I think we do. Well, it hasn't worked without him, so...
Hmm. And Ben Griffiths is still contributing here and there, but he's not contributing as a target inside 50. He's going okay as a centre-half forward. I liked him again as a backup ruckman.
Just barely. That was his worst game of the year. He took some good contested marks in the first quarter.
Mm.
A bit of the Ben Griffiths unsighted for long, long periods of the game, reared its ugly head.
True. He did. I just liked the odd moment where he was rucking, where he really put a body on.
Yeah. I have a pet issue that the certain people have been scapegoated too much for the loss and others are going unscathed.
Mm. Dave Asprey, as Dimmer said in his post conference, he, you know, kept the Coleman medalist to one goal, despite, you know, very good delivery coming down.
Yeah.
Again, nothing to be ashamed about.
No, we've got 99 problems, Nick, but Dave Asprey at halfback ain't one.
No.
He was really good. I just remember contest after contest at the halfback line, he wasn't losing. Like, we didn't lose that game because we were getting contested marks taken on us in the forward line by their key forwards.
No, not at all.
Well, at least not Dave Asprey's key man.
No, but Dylan Grimes. I'm not sure he's up to AFL football anymore.
He's not at the moment.
No, not at his current level of offensive production. And he's getting caught in between a bit as a defender as well. It's not looking good.
And Troy Chaplin's not exactly setting the world on fire either.
No, but he's not getting beaten badly one-on-one. His disposal's been a bit off this year, but he's still reading the play pretty well. I'm less worried about him.
There was a moment when he took an overhead mark, I think it was in the third quarter, where I was quietly relieved that he didn't get Bronx cheered.
Hmm.
Happiness. So, other positives from the game?
Matt McDonough cracked in as the sub.
Mm.
Without, you know, setting the world on fire.
Nathan Gordon got a shitload of garbage time touches.
Mm.
He really does play better when everyone else is tired, because he did very little in the first half. I remember when we subbed, if you look through the team, when we subbed Lloyd, who actually had more possessions. He had more possessions than Griffiths, than Arnott, than Gordon, when he got, and Dusty, I think, when he got subbed. But must have been, I reckon the idea of subbing Dusty would have come up in the coaching box.
Yeah, but he's an offensive weapon. It's
No, but I think it would have come up by the stage. By the time we were subbing, the game was gone, I think it was true. There to teach a lesson. And he wound up, he did play better in garbage time, but yeah, to me, it was an open, it would have been legitimate to sub Dusty.
Mm. Actually, if we are going to talk about positives, we really should give some serious raps to Ellis. You know, 32 disposals, 9 marks, 5 inside 50s, couple of shots a goal. That's a pretty solid day.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And sort of, he was one of the ones that was breaking lines through the middle of the field, and actually looked like, you know, they weren't garbage time stats. A lot of them they were stats that looked like when he had the ball, he was taking the game on and looked like he could break it up.
Mm. Dan Jackson as well, you know, for a guy with very little preseason, you know, he's going better than Rhys Conker, who also didn't have much preseason. Who's still. It's been charitable to say he's still working his way into the year.
Got plenty of tackles, but he got a lot less possessions than his opponents did.
Mm. Speaking of tackles, Matty Arnott nearly registered 10 tackles, which is a pretty extraordinary feat.
Yeah, he'd want to be tackling well.
Hmm. Yeah. If we had somebody pushing up to take his spot, he'd be in danger of losing it.
He would be. It is actually the sort of the. There was a moment, again, sort of almost halfway through the third, almost all our forwards had, except for Jack, had sort of 6 or 7 possessions or less. There was a moment that, you know, we complain about King because he'd often get 12 to 15 touches and a goal or two. Turns out, a fit Kingy is actually better than all the current guys playing there.
Well. One thing we have lost is in the King-Lloyd swap, and which I'm still in favour of. I think Lloyd's a more well-rounded footballer, but it's exacerbated the pace issue. And we saw that Brad Hill, Isaac Smith, two of the very few high draft picks that Hawthorn haven't traded away in recent years, you know, they touched us up a bit. And I think that's enough of a recurring issue that that's something we've maybe looking at in the off-season.
Yeah, we don't have any pace on the wings. Now, in fairness to Grigg, I think Grigg, you know, Grigg was the best wingman on the ground in the first half.
Well, and Ellis kind of plays wing at times, and, you know, they both cover a lot of ground. But, yeah, just that line-breaking pace.
When the game opened up, we don't have it.
No. No, Lids's reputation certainly has been enhanced by his absence.
And Rance's. Mm. Well, it was nice that they all sat together and made it, except for Rance, made it easy for the camera to pan to them and get the whole sort of miserable injury story in one camera shot.
I know. How do you think Alex Rance is feeling? And how do you think the coaching staff is feeling about him for a guy having, you know, sustained his injury not from playing football, but, you know, from driving a scooter, rather.
I thought he fell off an exercise bike. It doesn't matter, but it's a non-football injury, obviously. Mm. And who knows? Like, I heard on Monday that he trained fully. I don't know why he didn't play and why he didn't play
well, in Coburg. Apparently both him and Lids were close, but ultimately too much of a risk. And the club's already announced, well, Dimmer's said they're both almost certain to play this week. He did focus on injuries in the press conference.
He is talking about that a lot.
Mm.
I wonder if their fitness improved considerably sort of halfway through the third quarter.
Mm. So who's not getting it done? We've talked about Grimes, Griffiths to some extent. Who else?
Well, we've mentioned the forwards already, and I don't want to bang on them too much because they're all sub-50-game players, but I don't think any of them got it done today, other than Jack. Midfield is slow. We got them done.
It's a bit one-paced. I mean, you know, Lewis and Mitchell aren't super fast either, but...
Hammer got beaten by... McAvoy today, yeah.
Hit-outs were pretty even, but McAvoy had more impact.
Yeah, sort of round the ground, especially late, but, yeah, it maybe wouldn't have evened out if the game had been even.
Hmm. Yeah, Big Sean needs to get involved more. I you know, he chases well. I think he's feeling the pinch physically from being a number one ruck.
Yeah, he was looking beat up at times. He's doing a lot of heavy lifting. I also thought... like, we really worked hard to get Hawley the ball today, and, you know, he was almost being force-fed it, and he's not getting it that much considering how much we're clearly trying to supply him.
Mm.
He's still not breaking the lines as you'd want.
Yeah, he's got his possession count back up to where it was. You know, the game hasn't gone all that well when... the coach gets asked about a first-year player who hasn't played a single game in the press conference in Ben Leonard.
Yeah. Pettard, what do you think?
He had 3 marks inside 50.
Okay.
Well, for a half-forward, that's a pretty solid effort. You know, he tried hard.
Yeah, I mean, he had that one shocker where he hand-passed, where Rioli cut off his hand pass, but, you know... At that stage, sadly, the game was over. I don't know. I think his ungainliness leads him to be sort of excessively scapegoated.
Mm. He cracks in hard, and he's athletic.
Mm. I think the problem is, in our winning games, he's been like our 5th to 10th best player.
Mm.
He really should be your 21st best player. If he's in your team, he should be the guy you're thinking about subbing.
He's been pretty automatic though since he's come to the club.
I know. I think it's more symptomatic of a lack of depth that he's an automatic selection.
Hmm. This is pretty negative.
It is. I don't think we should do podcasts on the day of a big loss.
Hmm.
The mood's dark. Nick, I want to turn to a positive thing.
Okay.
It's a positive from a negative.
All right.
There is absolutely nothing that can be gained. The sort of the bottom feeders, the people who like to make jokes about Richmond, the media who like a good story, they'll want to pay up the coaching angle.
Mm.
There's nothing to be gained by changing a coach halfway through the season.
No. And I don't think Dimmer's the problem.
No. But it is an interesting... What's interesting now, and the reason I brought this up, is it's now an interesting challenge because he now has severe... Not severe, but adversity.
Yeah, it's a pretty tough situation. I don't think he's had a great season, but I don't think he's had a terrible season.
No, and it is still early on.
Mm.
Like, he can still get players back, win a few games. Unfortunately, he's not getting Geelong at the right time because even if you get players back, like you saw Brian Lake today... If you miss a few games, you know, even really good players, when they miss a few, you know, Branson Lids aren't going to come back strongly. Mm. But, you know, there is still a chance for him to win some good games later in the year. There'll be opportunities to turn around this season.
Mm. We had the fifth youngest team in the AFL this weekend, youngest Victorian team. So you look at teams who are sort of much more in the rebuilding stage, St Kilda, Melbourne Western Bulldogs, all noticeably older than us this week. We averaged 42 games less experience per player than Hawthorn did.
Yeah, and it was when you talked about going back to 2012. I felt like that. Like, it felt like, once again, I'm so sick of saying this, no veteran leadership.
Mm.
Like, you look at the sort of the people who played well for us. I mean, if you were to say sort of our best players, you would have said... Ellis, Asprey, maybe Cochrane got lots of clearances, and then, you know, you could maybe toss in Grigg or...
Jackson.
Jackson. Jackson is a sort of legitimately good player. Top five possession getters at Hawthorn. Mitchell, 30-something. Hodge, 30-something. Birchall, 30-something.
Late 20s.
Late 20s. Burgoyne, 30-something.
Lewis, late 20s.
Late 20s. I mean, Bradley Hill's the next one after that, but they're top five... Getting good veteran leadership. Eight guys with 150 games or more. We had two. Those two were Newman, who's, you know, who is slightly better today, last legs, and Chappie, who gave us
not very a great much. Deal.
Yeah, like the you know, sort of once again, our young players are carrying the load.
Mm. Yeah, I did. It frustrates me as well, like the perception of. A guy like Vlossie. Like, I think Vlossie's having a really good second season, but he's, because the team's struggling, he's not getting any hype. That's just the way footy works.
It is. You get eight possessions for Geelong in front of 70,000 people in a Hawthorn game. Like, you get a hand pass from Jimmy Bartel and do a nice kick when you're free on the wing and people start raving about you. And we'll come to this about the myth of the Geelong youngsters later.
Yeah, so, you know, We've got a young side. I think some of our younger players do have to step up more. We need more out of Ty Vickery. We need more out of Reece Conker. We need more out of Dusty. But
we need more out of Matt Arnott.
Yeah, we need more out of. Well, there's a question about, is Matt Arnott part of the future? But, you know, it'd be good to see Ben Lennon integrated into the team. So. I think still the structure of the team that we're building is still there, but the lack of depth's been shown up, and maybe a bit the lack of class as well. I think, if it doesn't turn around, I think not radical surgery, but certainly some restructuring needed.
Maybe go after a slightly higher-end free agent.
Hmm. Who knows? BFL. It was an exciting game.
It was a draw.
Hmm. I quite enjoyed listening to the game on the club's app on Anzac Day. You know, it was obviously very exciting in the first half. Liam McBean, three goals.
Yeah. I think I heard your girly scream from several suburbs away.
Yep, and he was causing a bit of excitement in the Tiger forward line when he went near it. Ty Vickery played a much better game for than he did last week. Kicked 3 goals in the second half. Did some ruck work. Anthony Miles did his usual extremely solid work. Ben Lennon, good without being great. Camden McIntosh, I liked his game. Didn't win a ton of the ball, but just that athleticism that we are certainly missing in the seniors a bit. His ability to make consecutive contests, which I like. I'm really keeping a close eye on his development second half of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's too early for a debut, but he's definitely a type that we need in, if not later this year, next year.
Mm. And for perhaps the random piece of coaching for the day, Aaron Edwards played on the ball.
Mm.
26 disposals and 2 goals.
I don't know. This is not good. Oh, okay, it makes a lot of sense to run him back in the form. I think we need Aaron Edwards back.
Hmm.
If we're playing Aaron Edwards to play on the ball in the seniors, God help us. But Aaron Edwards in the forward line would make a lot of sense to me.
Would we be too tall?
Well, the current forward line's quite, shorter. Mm, it basically,
that's true.
It'd be replacing the vacuum which Ty Vickery used to be in with Aaron Edwards. So, mm. I mean, it would be more mobile than what we started round one in. And yes, the team got run over in the second half, but, in fairness, it's not such a bad thing. They were light on midfielders. We are, the Richmond VFL team is quite tall. I'm not worried that they faded out at all. And also, it's the VFL.
Yeah, results don't really matter as long as you're getting guys coming through. That's what I look for. Other bit of off-field news for the week was talk about having an annual Anzac Day Eve game against Melbourne. What did you make of that?
Oh, the AFL sort of poo-pooed it slightly, but looks sounds fine to me. I did like Eddie coming out and saying, "Oh no, can't take away from the hype of the big day itself." Well, Eddie, yeah, you can't say that if other teams are going to say, "Well, you should give up the big day itself." Why should every other team sacrifice just for the sake of Collingwood?
Mm. And Richmond certainly proved it can draw a crowd. An article I'd recommend everyone to look up, I think on the Age website this week, highlighted how in the First World War, among VFL clubs, Collingwood contributed almost less than every other team.
Yeah. Bit of a low blow, but a good point nonetheless.
Geelong.
Nick, I wasn't that surprised when they lost to Port.
How come?
Well, I watched them the week before, and I saw a good team that matches up very well against the Hawks. But they're carried by 6 or 7 really good premiership players.
Mm. They're the names. We talked about it with Hawthorn. It's very much a similar structure. They've got a slightly younger team, but they still average 26 years of age each, which, is
at a premiership window team.
It's the top end of the spectrum. They've got, where they used to have a guy like Potsy Adley as their second forward, they're a bit more vulnerable. They're sort of trying to scrape goals out of a guy like Josh Walker, who's ex-rookie risk player. So they're a bit more dependent on Tom Hawkins than they were. In the ruck, they're relying on McIntosh, who's having a rare stint of reasonable health. There's a few players who wouldn't have made the team a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and you really have to, for Geelong do have good youngsters, don't get us wrong, we're not ever suggesting that, but you just, every week you go through, look for their team, week by week by week, look who the best contributors were, not the one who kicked the nice goal when he got in 50 metres of space because Stevie Johnson hit the ball, kicked the incredible kick. It's all the old guys.
Yeah, all their leading ball winners are the same old, same olds. Steve Johnson, Joel Selwood, Kelly, Stokes.
This is the team have not been competitive 2 consecutive years against Fremantle in the finals.
Hmm. The younger players to really watch out for Mitch Duncan, who's sort of, he's taken a step. He's not that young, you know, he's sort of 22 going on 23. He's winning quite a bit of ball, kicking a few goals. George Holland Smith, who's another one, winning a bit of ball. He's above a goal a game. And at the other end of the field, Cameron Guthrie, who's athletic, sort of midfielder, defender type. You know, they're the three youngsters who are really contributing for them at the moment. I think, as you were saying before, the youngsters do get a bit exaggerated.
I actually, if we had a fit team, I'd be feeling good about the chances to roll them. They've been there so many years in a row now. You have to, on a basis, you'd have to say we're a 20% chance at best. And I would say this is our best chance to roll them for a while. You know, I'd be talking up the chances of an upset. The problem is
we're not playing well?
No, we're not playing well and we don't have the cattle. And even if we get some of that cattle back, it'll be unfit.
Well, and I think the team as a whole is a bit down on confidence as well. Just that.
Yep.
Ability and faith in the game plan and of your ability to make decisions instantly. Like that really distinguishes the top teams from the bottom teams is that, you know, just it feels like the whole team is working in sync and we just don't have that this year.
No, you take a mark on halfback and there's a runner in board and you don't give it to them because you're nervous.
Mm.
And that actually noticed West Coast doing that this weekend, and I was wondering, what does this remind me of? And it reminded me of Richmond. Hmm. Not taking the instinctive first option, as you say. This was late in the game, West Coast. By the way, just as an aside, West Coast kicked 1-8 in the last quarter.
Yeah, their age profile is very similar to ours, actually, at the moment. I don't think we're going to win.
No, I think we might be more competitive than the general mood of Richmond supporters will be.
That'd be good.
It'd be nice to have a pleasant surprise in the game, because we've not had a single game this year where we've been pleasantly surprised by the performance.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
I used to love the roar of the crowd.
Magnificent mark taken by Roy Parker. A fighting, you're in the time. He gets inside, well inside. In any weather, you will see a spin.